Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I am thinking of one of God's most wonderful and beautiful miracles. I'm thinking about two little holes that he created in each of us. And through these two little holes, we are able to see the sky, the beauty of plant life and flowers, the faces of those we love, and so much more. Through these two little holes, we find our way around the world. We avoid collision with obstacles. We can see written language and interpret it. Through these two little holes, we do so much in life. These two little holes in your head, they're called your eyes. And through these little holes, my high school physics teacher taught me, we see the miracle of reflection. His name was Mr. Freeland, and he opened up so much of the natural world and scientific world to me, and made it interesting. But he told me in our class that he said, when you see something, he says, it's not that your eye goes out there and measures it, but he says, light is energy and it's reflected off things in different wavelengths, different frequency, and that goes into your eye and it registers. So when you see something that you seem to be red, it's just reflecting that wavelength of light that's bouncing off it, and your brain interprets that as the color red. It's a miracle that we can see these waves of energy and interpret it. And so I think about that and the miracle of sight, and I say, thank you, God. Thank you for this very moment that I can look out at the people I love here at my church, and I can see each one of them. I can recognize the pattern of the light reflected off their faces, and I can know who they are. And through another miracle, that of muscular expression, I can sometimes tell what they're thinking just by looking at the light reflected off their face. Friends, where would we be without these two little holes in our head? Where would we be without the ability of sight? It would be so tragic. Hardship and blindness, and not seeing the light of day, living in perpetual night. So it was for a man that Jesus met one day. Not only did he lose his sight, he never had his sight to begin with. A lifetime without seeing. And so Jesus came to him and did a very strange thing. He spit on the ground and made a little paste and put that on the man's eyes. Well, no different for the man. Couldn't even see the mud on his own face. And yet Jesus sent him to that pool that was renowned for healing, the Pool of Siloam. And he went and he washed. And at that moment, his life was different. Changed forever, because now he could see. He could see the trees. He could see the streets. He could see the people that he met each day, but had never seen the reflection, the miracle of reflection off their faces. What must it have been like for that man? Surely he had happiness without bounds. Now you'd think that the people around him would be happy that he got his sight. His family, his friends, his neighbors, his congregation, and those who led it. But it seems in the Gospel of John, all these people are not rejoicing, but it's like they're on pins and needles. The Pharisees want to know immediately, who did this? How did they do it? And when did they do it? And then when they found out it happened on a Saturday, the Sabbath day, they were upset. His neighbors, when asked, wondered if it was really him, and they had a little argument whether this was the man who was really born blind or somebody else that just looked like him. Why can't we just celebrate a good thing? Why must we always pick it apart and try to find out what the cause of it is? Isn't that just typical? You know, God does some kind of wonder in the world or maybe in our lives, and we automatically go into the investigation mode. How did it happen? Why did it happen? When did it happen? We try to measure it, and we try to figure out, well, could it just be natural causes that made this, or did God really do it? Did he really do it after all? Just take a look at the debate about creation and evolution, if there's even a debate anymore in public places. The man formerly born blind knows who healed him. He knows it was the hand of God. He couldn't see, but now he was made well, he tells others. And in fact, he says, this man who healed me, he's a prophet. A prophet is someone sent by God. And he believes that this Jesus is from God. He's experienced healing, and now he gives God the glory in public. And you know, it gets him in trouble. His parents, well, they're a sorry lot. When asked how this happened, they say, oh, we don't know. We don't know anything about it. All we know is that's our son. He used to be blind, and now he's able to see. But we don't know any more than that. Seems they're afraid, aren't they? We read later, afraid that they're going to be excluded from the place of worship, from their synagogue. You know, to them and to many people today, membership and acceptance are more important than seeing God himself. Fear of being outcast, fear of being excluded because of what you believe. That is very much alive today. And that's a great challenge today for the message of Christ and his church and the message that is inside all of you, that there is fear that if we confess the truth, what we really believe, that will somehow hinder us in life and we won't be able to travel in those circles that we'd like to. That's a challenge for us. And, you know, that's perhaps why we do so much of what we do today, isn't it? If we confess that honestly. Why do we wear the clothes that we do? Why do we really drive the car that we drive or live in the neighborhood we live? Isn't it a lot of it because of what people might think if we did otherwise? If we're honest. When it's really what God thinks that we should be most concerned with. Rather, we would sometimes rather live in blindness than have real sight. You know what blindness is here in the Gospel of John. Blindness is not really the ability to see the reflection, the miracle of reflection of light off objects and things. It's not the eyes that are hindered, but it's the soul. The ignorance of God, not being able to see and know God active in the world and active in your own life, that is spiritual blindness. And the opposite of that, of course, is sight. Being able to see, knowing God, and knowing especially who Jesus Christ is. Not merely a historical figure, but God in the flesh. Where you fit into God's plans, that is spiritual sight. And knowing what Jesus Christ did for you, that is sight. At the beginning of the sermon in the Lutheran Church, it's common for the pastor to say, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do that, it's for a reason more than just to quote St. Paul, as he says that when he opens several of his letters. But there, in that phrase, is the hope and the prayer that the person who hears the pastor's sermon might be able to see God. And the only way to see God is through Jesus Christ, that they might see the mercy, the grace, and have the peace of God. But the only way to have that is through God, from God the Father, is through the grace of God the Son. And so it's a prayer for the pastor's sermon, that he might portray Christ in a way that the Holy Spirit can use for the people to see Jesus and for the people's eyes to be opened to see what is being preached. Yes, knowing what Jesus did for you, that is what the gospel is all about. The opposite is that light and darkness. The light is Jesus is God, come into the world. And in Christ, we know how he heals, how he loves, how he gives the sight of faith and hope. And with that comes a knowledge of the future, of eternal life with God, our true future. And with that comes joy of knowing that God is with us. He is blessing us, and he will keep us forever and gives us that peace in our hearts. The blind man found the reaction of the Pharisees a little bit funny. They were so interested, weren't they? Interested enough, he thought, that they perhaps wanted to be Jesus' disciples. He says, I told you the truth, you didn't listen, and all I know is I was blind, and now I see. And why are you so interested after all? Are you thinking of becoming one of his disciples? That was enough for them. And he was thrown out, excommunicated from the synagogue. Outcast. Outcast. Many people feeling that way today through the way they have led their lives, or maybe how others have treated them, their situation in life, the sins of the past, perhaps, feeling excluded from God. But now, being outcast is okay for this blind man. Now that he has his true sight, it doesn't matter what other people think about him or whether he's accepted or not. He has met God. And now he knows the two kinds of sight. The miracle of reflection with the physical eyes and the miracle of seeing who Jesus is and what he has done for him. After he was sent out and kicked out, Jesus heard about it, went and found him and asked him, do you believe in me? The man said yes and worshiped Jesus, worshiped him as God. We can have that same kind of sight, to see the Lord and worship him. That comes to us as God cares for us and as the Holy Spirit working through God's word and those holy sacraments, bringing to us the eyes of faith to be able to see things that we were once blind to. The miracle of reflection also happens in us as people see our faith, as we live it out in the actions and good deeds and serving other people out of love, just as God served us in Christ. God portrays himself through us. His light is reflected off us in these ways, and others see God through us. So God is saying to us once again, let your light shine and let the blind eyes be opened as they were to this man, to our sin and to the antidote to that sin, the love of God in Jesus Christ, who gave his life as that sacrifice for all of our sins and opened to us life eternal. This is seeing. This is believing. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds to life everlasting. Amen.